way of nonviolence. It's the only path to start the revolution of everlasting peace. Become a messiah, because the world is insane. It's no time to be passive. Take decisive action. Receive the new dispensation of universal priesthood, of the Pentecostal flame. No religious boundaries.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Realization of our oneness. Heal the separation. By going out as sheep among wolves. Treading on scorpions, filled with fiery light, working day and night to bring home the lost and broken, bring them back into the fold of the fullness of heaven, the kingdom within, biomystical enlightenment, awakening in this new age, be your own sage.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there, but I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend, only love will bind, only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Hello and welcome to Turning Points and Transformations. This is Brian Rice from the Order of the Friends of Yeshua, coming to you from the Apostolic Communion in the state of New York, upstate New York. I want to thank you for your continued listenership and your support. It's been outrageous and great and humbling. At the same time, we're here today to talk about the actuality of desire in our lives and how it operates and how it dominates and how it seems to literally drive our lives. It's a component in the reality of struggle and suffering. Desire is a gift. Holy desire energy is a gift. Fiery desire energy is a gift, spoken of by the prophetic Tal Malachi from the Sophian Gnostic tradition as being a fiery desire energy. And it's something that's operative in our daily lives. Now, what's the main message of today's show? Well, we want to talk about how karma and desire fit into this picture, how action and reaction fit into the picture of desire, into our awakening, into our consciousness, and how ultimately sometimes desire and delusion or maya or separation figure into this mass flowing power of God power, really, that is harnessed, when harnessed, can be directed either for good or for ill. So we have an awesome responsibility. And I think we'll play some background music here today. What you see as being real is directly influenced by the flow of desire energy within you. I opted for the I opted for to not go with the music. We're just shooting from the cuff here. Again, I'm calling in from my phone. Skype's not working the way it should be, but it never seems to affect the way the listenership turns out. Gotta be totally shout out of thanks to you as well for every day or every week tuning in to Turning Points and Transformation. Sometimes controversial topics are handled, but you seem to respond well, and I got to admit, it really is humbling. So, one second. Okay. There's a method that I use of meditation that I was taught in my meditation certification. It's based on the program designed by Anmol Mehta, and it's called the Silent Mind Meditation Program. And in that program, in the adaption of that program to which I use, we go through a process, an unfolding process for insight. It's an insight meditation. It's a form of Dhyana Yoga, that of discernment and wisdom. We deal with the actuality of desire. And that actuality of desire, when weeded out from the rest of the flow of the mind currents, can be examined, perceived directly, ultimately observed and witnessed, then released or negated. I would say negated first, then released and let go of. So based on the seven-step process, from the program, Silent Mind Meditation, you can elicit a greater understanding and a greater awareness for the operative nature of desire, the actuality of desire as it works, the mechanics of desire, the mechanics of thought, as they operate in your consciousness. I'm not going to take you through those seven steps. You can view the program for free at anmolmehta.com, one of the largest yoga portals on the web. Why do we suffer? Or why do we desire so? It's because it's inherent in part of our nature, inherent in our consciousness. It's inherent in our evolutionary desire energy, the evolutionary energy of spirit. It's not only a biological phenomenon, but it's a spiritual phenomenon. And the cosmic play of forces within us, of that desire energy, leads us on our involution and evolution. Now, what do I mean by that? There's a constant balance, there's a constant play, there's a constant moving forward and moving forward two steps and then three steps backward. When we're overtaken by a desire, the actuality of desire, or a fact of desire in our life, our internal state is somehow taken hostage. We're taken hostage by the magnetism that a given fluctuation in the mind has upon us. And the essence of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the sage Patanjali, was that yoga ultimately is the process of controlling the currents or thought waves of the mind. When we weed out desires and we see the process of struggle in pursuit of the ideal, an ideal that we seem to never actually reach, then in fact, we are setting out to liberate ourselves in consciousness. And this liberation can be very powerful. When we say the actuality of desire, again, we're talking about a power, an operative force at work in our consciousness, or in our unawareness, or unconsciousness, or subconscious. But we're driven to excel, to accomplish, I have a whole list of things that we're driven to do. The desire, actually, the actuality of desire leads us to do. And this is part of my adaptation of the process of the Silent Mind Meditation Program. And we're going to go through that list really quick. What are some pursuits to let go of? Pursuits of or attachments to or the need to do the following. The attachment or the desire for specialness, which we talked about in last week's show, the myth of specialness, of being different, same thing, specialness, of individuality, again, same thing. We're constantly in pursuit of some form of an identity to either affirm, seek affirmation for a particular identity that we have or that we define ourselves by through self-definitions. We're constantly caught up in the pursuit of the ideal of success, attached to or needing to compete with someone else's success or good fortune. The desire to win at all costs, the desire to exploit others, the desire to defame another's character, to inflate ourselves and to uplift ourselves, the desire to do violence or harm to self or others. The attachment to excessive self-promotion, Attachment and desire, we're talking about interchangeably here. I hope you realize that. Excessive self-promotion versus advertising, as well as advertising inflated self-worth. The desire for pride, attachment to pride. Fantasies, escapism. Separation, the desire for fame, status, and recognition. Talked about that last week in the myth of specialness. Not going to fulfill your deepest needs and deepest yearnings. It just won't. It's not going to happen. Sorry to break it to you. I've realized it. It's painful. It's painful as hell. But it's part of the liberation process, part of the unveiling process of consciousness, of coming into consciousness, of evolving, ultimately. Those things are very hard to let go of. Those needs, the need to do, the need to have, the need to be famous, to be one with status, to be recognized. The attachment or the desire for significance and importance. We can be driven by the constant, incessant need for acceptance, for approval, for affirmation. We can be driven by the need for praise. All things to help enhance our sense of self, our self-esteem. We can be attached to the desire for perfection, for accomplishment, for doing, for justification, to the extraordinary, and a rejection of the ordinary. We can be driven by the need to have or to attain glamour, or to exhibit glamour. We can have the desire for exhibitionism. We can be attached to the desire for artificial beauty, for fulfillment, for false joy or the mere pleasure to counteract pain. We can be driven by indulgence. Desire and indulgence go hand in hand. When we indulge in a desire, we are either doing that, taking those 2 steps forward or 3 steps backward. We can be driven by the desire for a drug-induced high, for the avoidance of reality, for stagnation, inaction, meaning, purpose, for money, wealth, material gain, owning material things, possessions, for perfect performance, for thrill-seeking, for knowledge and information, for power, for belonging, for being needed, the desire for sexual relationships, for excessiveness in sexual relationships. We can be obsessed with the desire for sexual and sensual pleasure. We're not going to get condemning and talk about sin and things like that. But the desire for lust. We can also have the desire, as I get tongue-tied, for commotion, for emotionality, for external stimulation of almost any kind, for codependency, for attachments to people, for invoking fear in others, through something such as intimidation. We can be driven incessantly by the desire for control over circumstances, over life, over people. Some of us might be driven by the desire for criminal activity, commit some type of criminal activity. The desire to steal, to possess. The desire for conflict can be an attachment. The desire for revenge, vengeance, and anger. There's many more that we could apply, that we could add to that list. So, understanding the pursuit of the ideal within ourselves, how can we meditate upon that? Well, in my commentary on the Silent Mind Meditation Program, in this one of 2 meditations in the 7-step process that will be talked about in other shows, not today. The second specific meditation, Pursuit of the Ideal, involves being able to see the whole picture of one's suffering by comprehending one bit or piece of that larger picture, and as a result, all of the pieces. This meditation is a different way to accomplish the same thing, which is to describe the current constant state of mind. This meditation that I'm referring to shows that we are always in pursuit of an ideal, as I've mentioned. Here we see that we are subjected to the idea that we should be doing something, that we should. We're almost enslaved by shoulds. It can even be a temptation during the process of silent mind meditation. The ideal is the internalized voice of an authoritative nature that stands in the way of being in the present moment, fully as we are. It creates a rift of sorts between what really is real and what we think should be, thus trying to mend this rift throughout the course of our life. As Anmol Mehta says, it results in the endless effort of the mind to arrive somewhere and to become something. This authoritative voice that seems to drive us, it's interjected forces. Pretty is an externalized voice that seems to command us about be or set out to do, basically how to have your life unfold. A second source of this authoritative driving force for unaware enslavement is drawn from past experiences. This internalized chatter, the authority that is. The authority that is. Not, I didn't mean to emphasize that is, but the authority that is. Which we subject ourselves to, that's part of a larger sentence, I just realized. This internalized chatter, okay? Let me back up. The authority, that is, which we subject ourselves to makes demands that we follow. To do a certain thing, to be a certain way. Basically suggesting that we are unacceptable, unlovable, unappreciated, or that we are neglecting something that demands a course of action to change all these things about ourselves. The ideals are really stories we subject ourselves to, even to things that seem noble, and trying to even improve ourselves, sometimes obsessively. And this whole charade, though cloaked in noble shoulds, we still find ourselves in conflict. Most of our ideals are illusory and part of mayic delusion. But the silent mind process, which I really hope to get into in future programs, asks of us that we see our attempts, however noble they may seem, that they are just the pursuit of an additional should. This has to be dissolved, released, rendered obsolete. And this is influenced by my teacher, Anmol Mehta, some of these statements. It is important to remember that the only real truth is the undiluted now, the isness of things, pure being, pure presence. Our job, in order to become free, is to dismiss the externalized and internalized voices from our egos and from others, and to see bare bones the pain we create by subjecting ourselves to the ideal, and most of all, reject it through and through. Now, there's much more to this. There's much more to the process than just looking at the pursuit of ideals in our lives. Part of the process of silent mind meditation, of this Dhyana Yoga meditation format or structure, is seeing the fact of endless struggle and ravenous desire in action. Getting back to desire, the topic of this program, the actuality of desire. saying ravenous desire in action is another way of saying the actuality of desire as it functions in our life, in our thought currents. This meditation in the silent mind process, we can apply to our lives. We start to see and begin the process of intervening to more directly deal with the reality that the unliberated mind is almost always locked into a struggle of some sort. This meditative approach brings to the light three operative criteria in mindless pursuits. First, for the fact to be weeded out, the fact of desire to be weeded out of our lives, out of a course of many choices and decisions and actions and reactions and karma. The fact must be one that directly shows the constant struggle to attain something. In particular, something that seems to be lacking in oneself. To progress from the state of bondage to liberation, the second criteria in the seven-step process, which we will in the future go over. It says that the fact must be one you are in the dark about or unaware of the impact that it has on you. The beauty of the silent mind process is it gives you the direct opportunity to confront the blind spot of the fact you have chosen to release, realize, and be delivered from. And the third criteria in seeing the fact of endless struggle and ravenous desire in its actuality is that you must come to understand the fact causing you to struggle from an intellectual point of view. You turn your attention to the thinking process and begin to see that you are constantly busy striving to attain something. The goal in the process is to see that the mind is struggling to attain. See its impact on you, and then drop it. Seeing the struggle is the beginning of the end of a particular fruitless striving. We take our reality as we know it, and we use the sword of discrimination, or Jnana Yoga, to pinpoint, to elicit, to illuminate, bring light to, bring something out of unconsciousness or subconsciousness into the light of awareness. It takes a higher aspect of mind, of our God self, of our higher self, our God mind. God mind within us. The whole essence of coming free from one's desires involves radical self-honesty. And that is part of the essence of the Sangha Mind program. Now, I just wanted to introduce some of the meditations, some of the concepts, and some of the struggles that we seem to be compelled by, we seem to be driven by. The actuality of desire as it is present in our lives is a dominant force. And becoming free from it takes courage, it takes passion, it takes self-honesty, like I said, radical self-honesty. And it takes a deconstruction. It takes defragmenting the hard drive of desire wired within us. Desire is a gift, but it also can become a curse. Without desire, we wouldn't do anything. We would be stagnant. We need desire in our lives. We need it to move forward. It's a motivating force. It's not wrong to want to accomplish something. It's not wrong to want to pursue something. Just incessantly. Incessantly. Like dogs barking in the background. It's a process of silencing a figurative thousand barking dogs. When you try to harness, or when you try to tackle your desires. I just wanted to introduce the concept today. And we'll definitely get into it more. And we will go through the Silent Mind Meditation Program. It's free for you to do at anmolmehta.com. That's anmolmehta.com. And just look for the Silent Mind Meditation Program. And he has all the chapters on there. And my commentary that I shed on it and have shed on it today. Is an adaption of that very process, and I seek to illuminate congratulate Anmol for this lifetime worth of work that he has done upon this technique, influenced by J. Krishnamurti. So I urge you to come back again next week, because we will continue with this process of coming to be in full witness consciousness. Total awareness, total seeing. We're not calling you to annihilate all your desires. I'm certainly not. But we need to dissolve the power or the need that drives desire, the element of need in desire, excessiveness in desire. I know we always seem to get off to a rocky start here in turning points and transformations, but it all leads us to a point of contention, a point of self-introspection, to a point of reflection in general. To taking a look at ourselves. I hope you've been able to do that a little bit today in this brief overview. So again, I thank you for your listenership and for your continued support here on the Wave Consciousness Radio Network. I urge you to listen to some of the other programs here, Spiritual Spectrum with Father Michael Sherbert and the Wave Consciousness, airing on Sundays and Tuesdays, respectively. Well, I want to thank you again and congratulate you for taking part in this program and for doing any examining work that you may have, self-examination that you may have undergone in this brief overview. So I wish you peace, and I wish you tremendous, awe-inspiring blessings. May I send you forth. Enjoy.
I dance